Turn is coming up. I thought it's the guy to talk on Turn. Shalu Talmidah was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Ben Yochai. The students asked Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, "Mipneiman is chay v'sonem shel Yisrael shebaosu ador kloya." Why were the enemies of Israel of that generation deserving extermination? This is what they call today genocide. There was a decree to kill all the Jews. So the students asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, why were the enemies of the Jews? That's a euphemism. You know what a euphemism is? I bet you do, so I'm not even going to translate. Why were the enemies of the Jewish people chayav to be completely wiped out? So, before we get to the answer to the question, you see something very interesting from the question. The question is, why were the Jews deserving of extermination? So, I have a very simple answer, because the Goyim wanted to kill the Jews, so they hate us, so they wanted to kill us. So what more do you need than that? Anti-Semitism, it's an age-old problem. It happened then, it's happened many times since then, it also happened before then. So what's the question? Why were the Jewish people supposed to be exterminated? Because they hate us! Have you ever read any Jewish history books? If I would write a Jewish history book, you know what I would title it? They Hate Us. That would be a catchy title. They hate us. Because they hate us. That's why. They find any excuse. You even see in the Gemara. The Gemara, when Haman was arguing with Ahasuerus, she said, you know, when he was convincing him to kill this nation, he said, they're Shahai Pahainix. You know what Shahai Pahainix? He's running Megillah. You all are. So, Zvi Moshe. Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom, they're always making excuses. They don't like to go to work, they're always having excuses to go on vacation. You find a reason to kill the Jews. If it's a capitalistic country, the Jews are communists. If it's a communist country, the Jews are capitalists. If it's a liberal society, then the Jews are conservative. If it's a conservative society, the Jews are too liberal. If it's poor, the Jews are rich. If they're rich, the Jews are... They always find an excuse. So what's the Gemara's question? What's the answer? The answer is that the Goyim hating us is not enough of a reason to enable them to exterminate us. Because the Gemara is assuming, this is axiomatic, that God runs the world. So if the Goyim are going to kill the Jewish people, there's a reason. It's not happening stuff. Why did the Holocaust happen? Because the Nazis hated the Jews. I mean, there's definitely a symptom. That definitely was part of it. Nazis definitely did hate the Jews. But what was the root cause? So in Torah, we always try to go to the root cause. That's why it says in the Gemara that if you quote a Torah saying in the name of somebody else, in the name of the person who said it, you bring redemption to the world. Maybe Geula La'olam. So the Maharal says, why do you bring redemption to the world? So Naftali Yisrael HaKohen said a Chiddush in the Gemara, and I say, Naftali Yisrael HaKohen said a Chiddush in the Gemara. So for that I bring redemption to the world, what does one have to do with the other? So the Maharal says, because if I say that Naftali Yisrael HaKohen said what he said, I'm attributing his statement to the source. So if we accustom ourselves to attributing things to its source, we will bring redemption to the world, because then we're going to go to the source of all sources. Source with a capital S. God himself. So we have to attribute everything to its source. That was their question. They said, we know that Haman hated us. We know that Haman was a really wicked man. But what gave him the power to almost exterminate the Jewish people? What made the Jewish people chayav? It wasn't just Stam that Haman wanted to kill us. We were chayav. We did something. There's a root cause. So Amar Lahem, Imruatem, this is a very good pedagogical tool. He said, I don't want to answer you. You tell me. It's just interesting why here it says it. Usually in the Gemara they don't find that, but somebody asks somebody a question and then the answer is, you tell me. Okay, he said, you tell me. Mipnei shenenu misudaso shel oso rasha. Ah, they enjoyed a good meal. That was it. The entire Jewish people are going to be wiped out. Man, woman, and child are going to be killed, murdered, gassed, exterminated, because they enjoyed a good meal. Baruch, you like those raisins? Is that enough of a reason to kill? I'm saying Baruch. Is that enough of a reason to punish you, to enjoy? Enjoy his raisins! He's got a nice Rebbetzin on the cover of the raisin, smiling at you. Yeah, so, enjoy your raisins for enjoying a meal. Oh, so you're going to say to me, no. They enjoyed the meal of that Russia. It was a meal of a Russia. It was a meal of a Russia. So if you have a meal that is hosted by a bad guy, you have a bad guy in the neighborhood, and let's say you're in a company, and the CEO of the company is a rotten guy, he's not faithful to his wife, he cheats on his taxes, so he takes all the chevra out for dinner, and you enjoy that meal, for that you deserve to be killed? Is that one of the three major averos, or one of the four major averos, right? I was Zocha to be in the shiur that Rav Aron gave before. He said there are four major averos, right? Gilei Arayos, Shrikos Dam, Avodah Zarah, and Lashon Hara. Is that one of the four major averos that the Jewish people enjoyed? So they enjoyed the meal. Does it say in the pasuk, at least in the pasuk, does it say that the food wasn't kosher? No. Many say the food was kosher. Kirtzoni Shvish. So beforehand, they invited a lot of Jews. The Medrash says a large number. I don't remember exactly the number. There are a lot of Jews who were invited. And they made sure we're inviting Jews, so they wanted to accommodate the Jews. So you have, you like Badatz, you get Badatz. You like She'eris, you get She'eris. You like Rabbi Nun Mahadrin, you get Rabbi Nun Mahadrin. Everybody got what they liked. Shemitah problems? Chutzlar, it's no Shemitah problems. And what about the wine? Everything was all taken care of. Everything was all kosher. Mordechai is pouring the juice for the drink, and the juice for the Jews. So, no goyim touching the wine. The food is kosher. So what do? They enjoyed a good meal with Achashverosh. What terrible Avera did they do? And for that, Nischaivu Klayim. For that, they were supposed to be exterminated because they enjoy a good meal. So, I was pondering this Gemara, and I came to this is the approach that I developed, which I think is true, and the greatest pleasure I could possibly have in pre-Purim Tavshin Samach Tes is sharing it with you. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? So if you open up your Mesilas Yesharim, he says it black and white, like my clothing. That's why I like to, my clothing matches my books. He says it black and white. He says that Hashem created the world for one reason, for pleasure. Le'isanik al Hashem. We're supposed to have pleasure with Hashem in this world. God created the world solely that we should have pleasure. That's the reason given by the Ramchal. What are Torah and mitzvahs? Torah and mitzvahs, notwithstanding rumors to the contrary, are the means to allow us to achieve maximal pleasure in this world. That's the Torah's viewpoint. We're not here to suffer. We're not here that things should be difficult. The way we look at mitzvahs are a means to enhance our pleasure, to maximize our pleasure. That is why we have Torah and mitzvahs. And specifically the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like we say every day in davening, that God loves us so much, and what is an expression of His love? That He gave us the Torah. We say it every morning when we daven, and we say it every night when we daven, in Abba Rabba and Abba Solam. So, what's the Sfarad Nusach? How do they say in the morning? Avat Olam. How do you say it at night? Avat Olam. The Sfarad do that, so that, you have a standardized text. You don't mix you up. But the Ashkenazim weave this way, one way, the other way. I made that. So, Avat Olam. So God loves us, and how do you know He loves us? Torah, mitzvot, chukim, mishpatim, He gave us Torah. It's an act of love. Like, this is a guidebook. You really, 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 I once had a chavrusa, he told me he had a chavrusa, who said, you really want to have a good time, like do something wacky? It's like, yeah, I guess. He's like, okay, let's look at the Rashba. Let's see what the Rashba says. That'll be really fun. Okay? So the Torah is meant to give us a good time. And if the Torah says not to do something, it means that ultimately it's going to give you a bad time. It might be momentary pleasure, but I can tell you as a fact of life, 100%, which I can talk about from now till next Purim, that when you don't follow the Torah, it's going to make you unhappy. Because the Torah tells you, just an example of midos, right? The Torah tells you to have good midos, to be humble. So if you're humble, you're going to be happy. But if you're a Baal Gaiv aren't happy. Baal Taiv aren't happy. A person who has excessive desire and he's not controlling his desire, he's an unhappy person. He doesn't have a stable marriage. He's going this way and that way, there. People aren't happy when they don't have good character. And the Torah tells you to have good character. That's just one example. There are many, many examples. Okay, so the Torah is here to maximize our pleasure. However, what type of pleasure are we supposed to have? Lehisanek, says the Mesilas Yesharim, al Hashem. We're supposed to have pleasure with God. In other words, spiritual pleasure. Where was man created? What's the name of that place? Gan Eden. Right? So the Gan Eden, which is Gan is Gimel Nun, and the Eden is Aleph Nun Gimel, which really is, I mean, the word, which is Oneg, right? The Ayin and the Gan. But besides that, the Gan, it's a garden of, what's Eden? What does the word Eden mean? The word Eden means like Ma'adanim. Does anyone know what Ma'adanim are in Hebrew? What do you say, Ari?
Pleasures.
It's just a garden. Man was put into a garden of pleasures. That's the ideal state of man. That's where we came from. That's where we're supposed to go. God only wants us to have pleasure. When did we lose our pleasure? When we thought we'd have a good time. They thought if we eat from the tree, it'll be a good time. And then we lost all of our pleasure. And then we were kicked out and we're in this world which isn't always as pleasant as we'd like it to be. But we are supposed to have absolute pleasure. The Gemara says, if you reach your hand into your pocket and you wanted to get a quarter and you got a nickel or a dime, so that's called Yisurim. That's called pain. Why? Because that's not supposed to happen. Everything is supposed to be just perfect. You're supposed to ride down the street and get only green lights. You're supposed to have perfect health. You're never supposed to be tired. And nothing is ever supposed to hurt you. You're supposed to have 20/20 vision. Anything that ever goes wrong in this world is only because we're distant from God. And one day everything will be perfect again. That's the goal. The goal is to have absolute pleasure, but pleasure with God. Lehis'aneg al Hashem. Now, what is the opposite of that? What is the opposite of the purpose of creation then? If the purpose of creation is to have the pleasure of God, lehis'aneg al Hashem, then what is the diametrical opposite to that? Lehis'aneg al not Hashem. Anything that's lehis'aneg, you're having pleasure, and there's nothing to it, it's complete divorce from God, that is the opposite of God's ultimate purpose in this world. It's that's the other side. That's the worst possible thing. Because God wants us to have the real pleasure, and people are going for the fake pleasure, which is the opposite of what He wants. And that's really what the Torah is telling you. The Torah is saying all the mitzvahs and averus, mitzvahs are, this is how they sign God Hashem, to get the most pleasure from Hashem. And averus are, this is a pleasure that's going, many averus, not all of them, eating blood doesn't strike me as so much fun, but many averus are, this is the opposite of l'sanei gal Hashem. So essentially, what were the Jews doing when they went to this party? Was it a l'sanei gal Hashem party? No. What type of party was it? A party for the sake of l'shem party. Party l'shem party. L'shem pleasure. A party, just a party? A party, just a party? What are you doing? You're taking the purpose of creation and you're turning it on its head. And you're saying, we don't want the real thing. We want to live in the world of imagination, this world where God is completely absent, and that's the type of pleasure we want to have. So if you don't know the purpose of creation, you're missing out on you don't know why you're here. So if you don't know why you're here, you don't deserve to be here. I think that's the answer in the Gemara. Why would they come out afterwards in the Gemara? They ask a question, and they give another teretz, but according to this answer in the Gemara, according to the Talmidim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in order to get to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's shiur, you got to be a pretty good student. According to them, the reason is because they don't realize the purpose of creation, and they didn't act which flew in the face of the purpose of creation. Because the purpose of creation is pleasure with Hashem, and this is pleasure, so you're enjoying God's world, but in a completely unholy way. And that's why, you don't know why, if I have a company that sells clothing, and I have a guy there who sits on the computer all day playing solitaire, and he's not making sales, and he's not doing any, then he doesn't deserve to be in my company. You fire him. If somebody doesn't know why, that's what we do every Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah we proclaim God, because we're trying to get life, and the way to get life is to justify your existence in this earth. The way we justify our existence is, are we fulfilling our purpose? And we fulfill our purpose by knowing why we're here. So why are we here? We're here to get pleasure. And that's what people don't believe. You got to believe. If you believe it, it's awesome. That we're here to get pleasure, and trust God that He knows what the best pleasure is. Now, how does this relate to prayer? So you have this idea of Amalek. Amalek. Amalek is our arch enemy. So there's an interesting Rashi that we're going to read on Shabbos. And we're going to read the Pasuk Rashi stuff. It says, "Vayizaneg b'cha kol anechah shalom acharecha." Something about cutting off the people tailing after you. All the weak people on the back. What does that mean? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says the Amalekites did something very interesting. They cut off the bris milah of the Jews, and they threw them heavenwards. You don't think that's funny? You think it's gross? They cut off the bris milahs of the Jews, cut, and then they took them and they threw them heavenwards. Just think, what are they trying to say? So you'll excuse me that you guys are over 18, so you've seen, you're allowed to see PG-17 movies, so this is going to be, they have PG-17? Is that what they call it?
NC-17.
But I learned last week, I must make a note, that somebody told me it's not The Scrubs, it's just Scrubs. Okay? So now I know, I know how to say Scrubs, not The Scrubs. So, what is the Bris Milah? What is the Bris Milah? I'll tell you what the Bris Milah is. The Bris Milah is that area of the human body that man is most consumed with. From the age of about 13, 14, that area is what's on a man's mind until the moment he dies. Generally, that's the way God created man. That is the organ of pleasure. So why do we put a Bris Milah on that organ? Why don't we do a Bris Milah? I have a better idea, like we did in science class. You make a little prick in your finger. Yes, you get a little bit of blood. And you say he's a Jew, and everybody has a good time. I think the baby would enjoy that one a lot more. Right? They say the baby doesn't know. The baby can't localize pain. But whatever, anyway you look at it, why not make a little thing in his finger? Draw a little blood from there. Or how about in the tip of his big toe? Why there? Do you know why there? I don't know why. Hashem didn't tell me. But I have an idea. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take the most physical of our organs, the organ that is going to give us the most pleasure, and say, but remember that you're Jewish. Remember that you're Jewish. Remember that you have pleasure in this world, only have pleasure in a holy way. And therefore, when you get married, obviously, you only get married to a Jewish girl. And that when you, when you're married, you keep all the halachas of Taras HaMishpacha, which aren't always so easy, which are restricted. And before you're married, not only that organ, but everything that organ represents. What you look at, what you say, what you think about, it's all related to that organ, right? We know that a person can think about something here, and then there's a chemical change down there, because it's all connected. So everything a person does has to be focused on being holy, making one's pleasure holy. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Bris Milah there. That's the sign of my covenant. You know what the word Bris means? Bris means his kashrus, connection. So that's the organ of connection, and that's an organ of pleasure. I want you to connect to me with your pleasure. Meaning that when you have pleasure in this world, it should be godly pleasure, and you should never forget. And that's really the biggest type of man. The two biggest type of men are Taivas Bia, and what's the other one? Achila, of course, eating, right? And Chazal even called in the Pasuk, the euphemism for relations is eating. Because those are our two biggest desires and our two greatest pleasures, eating and Bia. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Does he want us not to eat? Have you ever seen a mitzvah not to eat? Eat! But eat in a holy way. Is there a mitzvah not to get married, to be a monk? It's an aveira not to get married. But how should you do it? You should do it in a holy way. So what were the Amalekites doing? What they did is they cut it off. They cut off the Bris Milah, and they threw them up. Which means that's not for this world. You want to be holy? You want to get physical? You want to get spiritual pleasures? That's not for this world. They took the organ of pleasure that represents the fact that we want to get spiritual pleasure in this world, and they threw it upwards, saying, yeah, that's for the spiritual world, that's not for this world. What are you supposed to do in this world? Two words for what you're supposed to do in this world. Party, hardy. That's it. You said this world is to have a good time. What's wrong with have a good time? What do you have to bring God into everything for? You know, there's some tzaddikim, they only eat, not so many of them around anymore today, but unless it's a sunnah mitzvah. They'll only eat, they say, Rav Tzedek HaKohen Milublin would make a siyum every day. And Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, he's still around, he makes a siyum every night for dinner, he makes a siyum. I think he's got a good head. And he knows the shas pretty well. Yes? So he makes a lot of siyum. Because you're just going to eat just for pleasure. So we say, no, we're eating so we can learn better and we can serve Hashem better. It's all true. But some people even took it to a greater extreme and they said, we're only eating if it's mamish a mitzvah. If it's a bris milah, if it's a wedding, if it's a bar mitzvah, if it's a siyum, only a sudas mitzvah. So for us and our madrega, just to realize that we're supposed to have pleasure. But the pleasure should be a Jewish pleasure and not a Gentile pleasure. And for that reason, they just want to have fun. Just for wanting to have fun, they were chayav koyach, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but you're missing the whole point. The point of the world is to have fun, but not that type of fun. The point of the world is to have Jewish fun. Now, what is the greatest of all spiritual pleasures? So we know that there's a bracha you make when you smell something. What bracha do you make when you smell something? What's that bracha called? Birchas HaReach! Brayim Neim B'Samim, Barei Aseh B'Samim. Where does the Gemara learn that from? A pasuk. Does anyone know the pasuk? Kol haneshama tehallel kol halleluka. What does that pasuk say? What does the Gemara say? That every soul should praise Hashem. What is the hanah that a soul gets? What is the hanah of the soul? Says the Gemara, reach. Reach, when you smell, that is a pleasure of the soul. So the Gemara defines smelling as the most spiritual of all pleasures. Now there were five. There were in Gan Eden. There's a famous Bnei Yisachar who says that there are five senses, and in Gan Eden they sinned with four of the senses. They saw the tree. The tree looked good. That's seeing. They tasted it. Taste number two. They touched it. It's another aveira. Number three. They listened to the snake. Number four. But there was no smelling. When they sinned in Gan Eden, they didn't sin with their sense of smell. So the Bnei Yisachar says, a great Hasidic Rebbe, that the only one of our senses that's still pure is the sense of smell. So smelling is spiritual pleasure that hasn't in any way been tainted by sin. Now, let's get to Purim. What's the name of the hero of Purim?
Mordechai.
And the Gemara says, Mordechai min haTorah minayim. Where do we have an allusion to Mordechai in the Torah? Who knows the Gemara? What's an allusion to Mordechai in the Torah? When the Torah enumerates in Parshas Pekudei, the different Besamim, it says, Mor Dror. What is Mor Dror? One of the Besamim, one of the nice spelling senses in the Beis HaMikdash. What was Mor Dror? Says the Targum, Moradachya. So the Gemara, interestingly enough, found an allusion to Mordechai's name in the sweet smelling Besamim. The sweet smelling, how do you say Besamim in English, Ari? Spices, fragrant, the sweet smelling spices in the Beis HaMikdash, they found an allusion to Mordechai. So Mordechai smells good. Yes? Mordechai, Mordor, Mordechai. What was the name of the heroine of the story? Esther. And also? Hadassah. What is Hadassah? A myrtle. You ever smell a myrtle? A myrtle smells good. Gemara defines in Sukkah, Ikro L'Reach. A myrtle smells very good. So interestingly enough, the name of the two heroes in the Purim story are both around smell. Why? Because we said that their whole pagan, the whole aveir of the Jewish people, was that they wanted purely physical pleasure. So what's going to be the tikkun? What's going to save them? Spiritual pleasure. What do we define as the most spiritual pleasure? The Gemara says, neshama. What does your neshama get pleasure from? From smelling. Meaning the Chazal possibly are telling us that the way to fix the sin of Purim is to have spiritual pleasures. Not physical pleasures. Now, this will knock you down. What does the Gemara say? How does the Gemara, what's the lashon of the Gemara when it says that you should get drunk on Purim? What is the language of the Gemara? Chayav inish? Levesume. Levesume. Maybe, some Hasidic rabbis have suggested, the Gemara is alluding to the fact that you should smell good on Purim. Chayav inish levesume v'puria. You have to smell good. What is smelling good? Smelling good meaning, spiritual pleasures, that a person is supposed to have spiritual pleasure on Purim. That's the message of Purim. And that's the other side. They always say, Purim, Yom Kippurim. What does Purim have to do with Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is a purely spiritual day, and Purim is a purely physical day. What's the answer? No. The question is based on a mistaken premise. Purim is a really, really spiritual day, and all the pleasures you're having are for spirit. There's nothing else. There's no other real pleasure in this world. There's no other pleasure that God wants. God wants you that pleasure. But the pleasure has to be spiritual. And therefore, chayav inish lebesume v'poria. There should be a lot of smelling. You should smell good. You should smell nice things. Also interesting. What do we do on Purim? On Purim, there's a mitzvah of mishloach manos and matanos levyonim. So you think, what's mishloach manos for? You know, it's nice, you know, brings people together, friends. What's matanos levyonim for? Why do you give poor people money? Because poor people need money. But I think it goes deeper than that. You know why, Chazal, I think we're mitaking mishloach manos and matanos levyonim on Purim? Because Chazal wanted this to be the most pleasurable day of the year. He wanted you to have a rocking time. What's the greatest pleasure in this world? The greatest pleasure in this world is to give. When you give, you feel so good. When you really genuinely give from the depths of your heart, you feel good. Now, when you take, sometimes you have pleasure. Sometimes it's pleasurable to take. Somebody gives you $100. So you're going to enjoy the $100. But when you give it deep inside, the real feeling is much, much more powerful than the feeling of taking. And not only that, it also lasts a lot longer. You know, Noach Weinberg, Zechat Tzadik Lebrach, who just nitter a few weeks ago, he always gives the example of, you know, he's a famous speech everyone should listen to, the five levels of pleasure. You know, five levels of pleasure. Anyone ever listen to it? One, Baruch, Adam, two. So everyone can borrow from Baruch and Adam, they can download it, Tzvi Moshe, from their UPod. I don't like to say iPod, because then it's about me again. UPod, give me. So I downloaded, listen. So he says, he's asked the guy, you know, a guy, he's a rich guy, he's had so much pleasure in this world. What was the greatest day of your life? So he said, what happened? One time, there was this actually Lemaisa now, because it happened only recently. Somebody fell into the Hudson River, and the person was drowning. So what happened? I jumped in after them, and the Hudson River is filled with disgusting things, and it's polluted. But I had to save their life, and I get around, and I did the life saving, and I saved their life. And afterwards, I felt so disgusting, and I went back, you know, he was taking a boat ride around the Hudson. I went back to my hotel, I showered 1,000 times, and it got in my mouth and in my nose, and it was so gross. But afterwards, when you look in retrospect, that's the greatest time of your life, is the time when you're giving. And that's why everyone has this internal need to be a parent. Being a parent, you don't get much. You don't get much thanks when you're a parent. It's just all giving. But we know that that's the greatest pleasure. So a person will spend, if Rahman al-Sanah, they can't have kids, they'll spend $50,000, they'll go through the most invasive, painful treatments, just to be able to give. Because that's the greatest pleasure. And then if they can't, God forbid, have children, then they adopt children, because they know that giving is so much fun. So what do they do? What do you do on October 31st? On Halloween, you also get dressed up in a costume, and you knock on the door and you say, trick or treat. What does it mean, trick or treat? It means either you give me something or else. That's what it means. Either you're getting... Anyone trick-or-treat in Harlem? Never seen. But in New York City, I can tell you, I've been there. Me and Benjamin live not far from each other. Yes, in New York City, people are trick-or-treating. Yeah? What do we do on Purim? You go and you demand something? You demand something from anybody? You don't demand anything from... You're giving. Because giving is the greatest pleasure, not taking. Yes? So, on Purim, in order to enhance our pleasure, we give, we don't take. So, that's also, I think, the Gemara says, it's really Sfasemis. Sfasemis says, the Gemara says that on Purim, what do they do? Hador kiblu abim Achashverosh. What does that mean? They receive the Torah again in the time of Achashverosh. Because Kabbalah said Torah. So Chazal say in Masechet Shabbos that you know what happened when God gave us the Torah? You know what the world was filled with? Bisamim. That's what the Gemara says. When God gave us the Torah, the world was filled with a good smell. So on Purim, we accept the Torah, and then of course everything smells good, because it's all connected. When you accept the Torah, it's the greatest spiritual hana, and now the world is filled with besamim, and that happened at the time of Mount Torah, and it also happened on Purim, and also that's the menafachu of Purim. What's the venafuchu? What's switching it around? Not only that everything bad that was supposed to happen, good things happened, but a lot more than that. What really happened on Purim? What happened on Purim was that the Jewish people wanted physical pleasure, and what did they end up getting? They ended up getting spiritual pleasure, because what's spiritual pleasure? Being able to connect to their Rebbeinu Shalom. So when they were all supposed to be killed, and then they were saved, and then they saw Mordechai, and they all, you know, he was going out with the royal garments, and they saw who was really running the show. That's the greatest pleasure. The greatest pleasure is to know that no matter what happens, Hashem is running the show. So that is the idea of smelling. And also, I thought a few other remazim. It says in the Gemara, Haman mena Torah minayin. Where do you see Haman in the Torah? So it says, Hamina eats. Did you eat from the forbidden tree? Which means, where's the remez in the Torah that you shouldn't look for where's the remez in the Torah for Haman, meaning getting purely physical hanas? That's what Adam wanted in Gan Eden. He wanted purely physical pleasure. And the remez is, Hamina eats. Did you eat from the forbidden tree? Meaning, that's the remez of forbidden pleasures. And the way to counter that is to get spiritual pleasures. Also, at the end of this week's parsha, it says, Lo salo lo ktores zara. And it says at the end of Tetzaveh, you shouldn't have a foreign ktores. Right? Ktores, what's the ktores? Ktores is the incense in the Beis HaMikdash. What does ktores do? It smells. So you see in the Torah that ktores kills. Where does ktores kill in the Torah? Nadav and Avihu. They brought a foreign ktores and it killed them. Where else did the ktores kill? Korach! So ktores kills. What else does ktores do? It gives life. When do we breathe give life? Because after... What? After there was a plague, and then in order to stop the plague, what did they bring? Aaron went and brought a ktores. So you see ktores also in the Beis HaMikdash, that if the Kohen Gadol lights the ktores before he goes in, he's killed. So ktores can kill, and it can also give life. Why? Because what does ktores represent? Pleasure, smell. So smell can kill you, or it can give you life, and it all depends on how you use this pleasure, and that's what it means in this week's parasha. Don't have a ketoleh zara, which is a remez, maybe a hint. Don't have forbidden pleasures. So a lot of times guys tell me that they're going to be religious, but they also want to have a good time. But you just know that if you just want to, in a garish way, if you want to have a good time, that's not religious anymore. People have parties. Somebody told me, a guy in the university told me, he said, no, we're good guys, we're religious, da 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 da, we go to minyan, we keep kosher. I said, do you party with the guy? You know what he said to me? He said, everybody parties with the guy. He said, what do you mean? I said, what does it mean to party? He goes, oh, there's alcohol, there's girls, and we have a good time. So, I'm not telling you not to, because if I would say not to, so, if you're inclined to listen to me, you would listen to me even if I wouldn't say not to. You would just take the message yourself. And if you're not inclined to listen to me, me saying not to won't help. But I just the fact of Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying two things. He's saying, first of all, that is the opposite of Torah. The opposite of Torah is that go have a good time with the goyim. The pasuk says in Hosea, Al tismach Yisrael al gil ha'amin. We don't have Gentile simchas. We have a completely different way of having a good time. We don't celebrate when somebody hits a home run, or when somebody has a great movie and acts well. We celebrate the things that really mean something. We have a different way of celebrating the goyim. That's A. And B, we claim that our way of celebration is a greater celebration than theirs. That we're really having a much better time. What's more fun? To dance with a guy or to dance with a girl? So the Torah, I don't know, I can't say, because I've only got to dance with guys. But the Torah says, dancing with, it's going to be more fun. It's more fun with the mechitza. It's going to be more fun. Why it's more fun, I actually have an idea, but we have Maariv coming up and the Rebbe Shlita is coming, so I can't cut into the time. Chas v'sham. But if anything would make me chayiv misa, I think it would be that. I think I'd give myself misa. But there's a heter in the Gemara. There's a heter. You really, really did a terrible affair. Chas v'sham. So a person wants... So Hashem says, if you can go, you can dance with the girls, or you can do it in a holy way. You go to a Jewish wedding or whatever it might be, and you're with the guys. So it could be that at the moment, you think, you know, the guy dancing in front of me, you know, my hands are on his shoulders, you know, he's an okay-looking guy, but I think the girls on the other side of the mechitza would be more fun to look at. So you can see that. Also, they don't have a little stubble coming out of their face. You know what I mean? So, you know, he is a good-looking guy, but, you know, the stubble is, you know, not what you're looking for in a marriage partner. Yes? So maybe you think that's... No. It's the you're looking for the wrong pleasure. The greatest pleasure, the Torah promises you, do it the Torah way, and you'll really get pleasure, I promise you. That's what the Torah says. Or, take a common example. A person says, should I keep the gear? Should I be shomer nagi or shouldn't I be shomer nagi? So, I don't really understand the question. I never saw that it was an option. You know, sometimes in college, you know, you have electives, and then you have optional, and then you have courses that you have to take. It was never given as an elective. You know, you say, okay, I will be, I won't be, you know, I will. He does, he wants to keep it, I don't want to keep it. It's not, Hashem didn't ask us. But if you think about it, and that's really what research also shows, that you really enjoy your marriage a lot more if she's the only one you've ever been with. If you wait and you hold everything back for your wife, then you happen to have a lot better time. And not only that, after you're married, there are very strict laws, and the Torah promises, the Gemara already says it. The Gemara says, why is the Torah so strict that on the average, today, Bizman HaZeh, a guy can't touch his wife 2 weeks a month. 2 weeks a month he can't touch her, can't pass her the salt. 2 weeks a month. Why is the Torah making us so crazy? The Gemara says, not in those words. The Gemara says, you know why? Because Hashem wants you to have the best possible time. So if it was always mutter, then it would stop being fun after a while. It gets boring. And if you go to the outside world, I don't want to get too graphic and I'm not going to, but if you see research done, you'll see that that's exactly what happens. It gets boring after a very short time. And then they look for other ways to give themselves pleasure. And the Torah says, no. You do it our way, and you'll get the maximal pleasure. Right? Also looking. Right? Person just, I'm just watching a movie. What's the big deal? So there are two big deals. The first big deal is that you're contaminating your soul, and it's forbidden, and you're distancing yourself from the Rabbanu Shalom. That's one problem. But there's a more basic problem. You can talk to your Yetzirah. You tell your Yetzirah, you know, I'll be a lot happier if I show restraint. There's just some things that I don't look at. And you feel, do you know that? There are people who feel good when they don't look, because they were able to restrain themselves. There are people who feel good. They see lots and lots of food on the table, and they only eat what they have to eat. And it actually makes them feel good. Wow, I'm not a pig. I'm not an animal. Sometimes I watch the way people eat, and I say, it's kosher. Guys, I'm not saying, of course you can eat kosher. But even if it's kosher, there's eating like a human being, and then there's eating like an animal. And there's some, I don't know what meals are like in this yeshiva, because I don't eat here. But I try not to eat bechlal, as you can see from my figure. That's why I keep nice and slim. But in some yeshivas, I've been to yeshivas, where they open up the gates. It's like, in the horse races, they open up things open, and then all of a sudden the horses come out. That's exactly what happens. They open up the door to the dining room, and the horses come out. Problem is, they're not like eight of them each in their lane. They're like 500 of them in everybody else's lane, and they start jumping on top of each other. There's one yeshiva boy once told me that their boys were such animals. They were all, all grabbing every day. And one time, everybody was grabbing for the schnitzel, okay? And this guy couldn't get the schnitzel. So what did he do? So what do you do if you're on the one-yard line and you want to get into the end zone? You jump over the top. So that's what he did. He took a running start. The boy who told me this was crying. He had tears in his eyes as he was telling me the story. A guy who went to this yeshiva went to a different yeshiva, and he said he jumped over the top to grab his schnitzel. Literally. So it sounds funny, and it isn't. But it's tragic. It's sad. It means that people are animals. Animals. You see a little bit of food, and an animal, you can't say, Spot, have good manners. Spot knows that his life is, he's going to live his whole life in the doghouse anyway. So it doesn't matter how he behaves, he's in the doghouse. But for human beings, to have a little bit of restraint, and then you have pleasure. You want to say something about something. It's like a schmack sometimes. You have a good story to tell about somebody. Oh, and I know about this and this and what this guy did in high school. And, you were there. And you're an eyewitness. You said, what is journalism? I'm saying, what's the greatest thing that can ever happen to a journalist? You watched it happen. Like, he happened to have been in the room when Bill Clinton was, not being Mavatal Torah, whatever Avera Bill Clinton did. Yes. So, he was there. Wow! Wow, I saw it myself! And you wouldn't believe it, and then he did that, and he did that. People have such hanah when they tell Lashon Hara. Isn't it delicious? Isn't it delicious? Just think about it sometimes. You have something really, really great to say about somebody. You'll really knock them down, you'll get such a good laugh, and you'll say, but wouldn't it be kinder and more gentle and sweeter and nicer if I didn't say it? And then you do the old this, you close it up, you throw away the key, and you don't say. So that is a Jewish pleasure. A Jewish pleasure is not saying. And guys, the list goes on and on and on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, really, 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 you listen to me, and I'll give you the ultimate pleasure, and I know I made the world. And that's why the Gemara says, you really want, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you really want to enjoy this world? You really want to enjoy this world, the Mishnah says? Okay, I'll tell you how to do it, okay? Sleep on the floor, okay? Eat a little bit of bread, drink a little bit of water, okay? And sit and learn nonstop. I say, can you think of a bigger Gehenna than that? You're just learning all the time. What's the answer? The answer is, the Mishnah says, Imata osekein, if you do it, Ashrecha b'olam hazeh. You'll see, you'll really have pleasure in this world. But you got to do it. And you see, people who learn, and they get such pleasure. And I see it in Yeshiva, Shalom, guys. They did it, they learned, they understood the Gemara, and you see the spark in their eyes, you see they're excited, they feel good. I've never, never, and I've seen a lot, in over 20 years in Yeshiva, I've never met a boy who didn't have pleasure from learning well. Ever. Ever. And you see, sometimes the other day I was in the bus with a guy, and the guy wasn't so into learning, and this, and we started to talk in Divrei Torah. And by the time the bus ride was over, 15 minutes later, the guy was ready to dance. I was ready to dance. He enjoyed the Divrei Torah so much, you couldn't imagine a better pleasure. Really, that's what it is. Guys, when you get into learning, when you're into it, it takes a little while. When you get it, there's no better pleasure. And the thing that distracts you from that is going after other pleasures. So he says, look, we'll tell, it's real, it's all pleasure. Just keep the pleasure in the base medrash. And if you're not in the base medrash, then keep it in the base medrash, take a pleasure. So this is something for us to remember. You guys are going into the world. You're not going to be zochah to sit in yeshiva. Next year, 2 years, 3 years down the line, remember the pasuk, Al tismach Yisrael al gila amim. Doesn't say anywhere not to have pleasure. But don't have gila amim pleasure. Don't have goyish nation pleasure. You want to listen to music? There's enough music today, Jewish music, all styles. You have jazz, you have classic rock, you have hard rock, you have all types, right? But the lyrics, not that there are many people who are against the sound, But at least the lyrics are pure. Yes, you know, they take a pasuk in Tehillim or whatever it might be, but you listen to the filth that they sing about in other secular music, and it contaminates your soul, and it doesn't make you a happy person. And you see that most of these singers aren't happy people anyway. I remember it was a popular group when I was a teenager. They had a lyric, "If it's not love, then it's the bond that'll bring us together." I'm saying, like, such lyrics, that doesn't make you happy. Yes? So if you stick, when you listen to music, and you say, "I want to have godly pleasure." But if you're listening to music that has harmful, spiritually harmful lyrics, that's going to distance you from Hashem, and ultimately it's not going to give you pleasure. And you read a book, there's nothing wrong with reading good literature. And many people would say it's wonderful to read good literature. So I'm not an expert on literature. But one thing I know, that most of what people read is filth. So besides the fact that it's against halacha to read novels with sex scenes, but besides that, it contaminates. It makes you feel disgusting inside. When a person has a contaminated soul, they can't be happy. So if you weren't Jewish, so I'll tell you, it's not going to affect you as much. But if you have a Jewish soul, if you have a Yiddish neshama, and you contaminate it. Remember once when I used to read novels, saying most novels have some filth. Remember one novel I read, very, very popular novelist. I don't want to mention his name. I don't want anyone to go out and buy his books. So he had 16 consecutive pages of what was going. He could have said, and then they went into the room, and they did what they did. But he went on and on. Mama, she did this, and she did that, and went back and forth, and shaka the time. And then, and on, and on, and on, and on, and on. And it just, to this day, just, I want to vomit. I want to just think, how could a person get, so Baruch Hashem, we have mikvahs, Baruch Hashem, we have tshuva, Baruch Hashem, we have tov, these things. But it's just, it makes you filthy inside, and then you can't be happy. And that's what the Sfarim say. The Sfarim say the key to happiness is to guard the laws of Kedusha. When a person keeps the principles of Kedusha and has pleasure from what he's supposed to have pleasure from, and doesn't have pleasure from what he's not supposed to have pleasure from, then such a person will truly have a pleasurable life, and of course, a life filled with simcha. 2, 3, 4.